This parsha is Parshas Pinchas. Pinchas ben Elazar. The first parsha of there are 10 weeks left until Rosh Hashanah.
Wow.
We begin the countdown. Okay? We begin the countdown. We come to Parshas. We come to the 3 weeks. Why that we have 3 weeks? There are Gimel Di Paranusa. There are three weeks of Paranusa, 2 Haftarahs. We break now from the Haftarah that would normally be read from the Parsha. Normally the Haftarah is Minyanei D'Yoma, what relates to the Parsha, but the next 10 weeks we do not lean from the Parsha, we lean from 3 weeks of Paranusa. To this week and next week is from Yirmiyah, and then from Yeshaya, Shabbos Chazoin, and then 7 weeks of Nechama. Seven, Shiv D'Nechemta, which are all from Yeshaya, and that takes us until Rosh Hashanah. So we begin now to start thinking about the Yomim Noirahim, the Yoim Hadin. Okay, now Parshas Pinchas, before we begin, is a very special parasha because really every Shabbos we should take out 2 Sifrei Torah. Right, every Shabbos, there's a Musaf. When it's Rosh Chodesh, we take out 2 Sifrei Torah. During the week, when we lay in the special, the Musafim of Rosh Chodesh, and on the Mo'adim, we lay in, let's take out a second Sefer Torah. Yet on Shabbos, we do not take out a second Sefer Torah to read from the Musaf of Shabbos. So the question is, why not? So there are 2 basic reasons why we do not. Number one is because there are only 2 Psukim. And in order to take out a Sefer Torah, you need to have 3 Psukim. So we're not going to go take out a Sefer Torah for 2 Psukim. That appears not to be the primary reason, if I'm not mistaken. The primary reason is because on Shabbos, we don't bring a Chatas. The reason why we generally say we read the Korbanos, and we leave from the Musafim is because on all of the Musafim, there is a Soir Lechatas. On Shabbos, there is no Soir Lechatas. Shabbos, I'll read you the Tzuv Tzuvim HaShabbos, Shnei Chavosim B'nei Shana Teninim, U'Shnei Esreinim, Solas Mincha B'lulav HaShemen V'Niskoi, Oilas Shabbos B'Shabbatoi, Al Elas HaTamid V'Niskoi, there is no Soir. On Shabbos, you bring a carbon oila. A carbon oila is offered, and that's it. I think there might be another reason. I'm not exactly sure if this is what? Yes. Yes, because a chatas kapora is kapora. All of the Mo'adim, Hashem instructed us to bring korbanos to achieve kapora. So bizman kapora is something that we desperately need. And being that we do not have a base on English, bizman hazeh, u'neshalma forim sifosenu. So we read the parsha, and that will achieve the same goal of giving kapora. But on Shabbos, there is no kapora. There is no kapora. There is no soy. We bring a carbon oil. I know you'll tell me an oil is also a kapora for machshava for kaas bitulase, but it's not the same league. It's not the same league. So therefore, there is no inyan meikar hadin of uneshalma forim sefosene, because on Shabbos we are not bringing a carbon chatos to achieve atonement. So therefore, we don't have to read the psukim, and that's why we do not take out a second sefer Torah to read the parsha of Shabbos. There could be there's another reason, which is not, this is not a real reason, but I think it's interesting, which I came across, is that all of the other korbanos, it says the word ta'aseh, or takriv. For example, the carbon tomit. The Torah is very explicit. This is what you shall offer. Esakeves echot ta'aseh, do takrivu. On problem is that when you bring a carbon on Shabbos, it is, there is chilul Shabbos. When you sacrifice an animal, it's chilul Shabbos. So you'll tell me, oh, well, Shabbos chutra, Shabbos is dechuya. All of these things are put aside, but that's only in the Beis Hamikdash. It's interesting. That's only in the Beis Hamikdash. In the Beis Hamikdash, it's chutra or it's dechuya. But when you discuss the inyan of neshalma forim sifaseinu, when you bring in korbanos, is it really proper that you should focus and dwell upon the bring of korbanos outside the Beis Hamikdash midin neshalma forim sifaseinu when it is a contradiction to the laws of Shabbos? On Shabbos, it's chalina and mechal Shabbos. It's true, the Beis HaMikdash, you bring the Korbanos, Chutra D'Chuya. That's the Torah. The Torah says to do so. But we're not actually bringing the Korbanos. We're only going to read about the Korbanos. And when you read about the Korbanos, it's going to trigger in your mind, oh, it's Shabbos. And on Shabbos, you can do things. You can do things which are not normally permitted. So therefore, the Torah, how do we know that the Torah is sensitive to this? Torah is sensitive to this idea is because in the only carbon where it does not say the word tase or takriv is Shabbos. On Shabbos, you read the two psukim of Yom HaShabbos, Shnei Chavosim B'nei Shonot Timimim, U'Shnei Yashonim Solus Minuch V'lo B'Shem Men B'Nisko. Oilas, the Torah talks about it indirectly. Oilas Shabbos B'Shabbatoi, Alas HaTomid V'Nisko. It is the only set of Korbanos and all of the Korbanos of Parshas Pinchas where the word action, there's no call for action. It doesn't say the word takrivu, it doesn't say takriv, it doesn't say tase. How could that be? Why was the Torah Mishane from all of the other Korbanos? The answer is the Torah is sensitive to the fact that you are doing something which under normal circumstances would be forbidden. It's Chil Shabbos. To go slaughter an animal is a Malacha Deraisa. So of course, it's the Avodah. The Avodah, you're supposed to do it. You're supposed to do it. So in the Beis HaMikdash, it's Chutra. It's 100% permitted. But there is still a degree of sensitivity. Just because something is Mutter 100% L'chatchila, it's an amazing sight. The Torah went out of its way to be sensitive to the fact that you have to realize the Kiddush of Shabbos. Don't get carried away with doing things that otherwise are forbidden. The Torah did not even use the word Taseh. Or the word Takrif. So going a step further, when it comes to Shabbos, when we want to normally lay down, when it comes to the Moadim, you're allowed to do Shechita during the Moadim, because during the Moadim you're allowed to do Malacha Hutzrech Eichel Nefesh. But when it comes to Shabbos, so Bishlam, if we had a Beis HaMikdash, of course we would bring the Korbanos. But we don't have a Beis HaMikdash with Zman Hazeh. And what we're doing is only now been the category of Unishallah Farim Sifoseinu. It's good enough, you can say the Korbanos yourself before davening. To do it publicly, to say it publicly before the Anglo Eda, and to give the people the impression that you know it's Shabbos and you can go home on today and you can slaughter animals, it's not a good idea. There is a degree of sensitivity. Okay, so this is already a third reason why in Shabbos we don't lay in V'yoyim HaShabbos. To review, the first time is because there are only two psukim, and to take out a sefer Torah with two psukim is problematic. It's not such a problem. We can break up the two psukim into three. We can mafsik in the middle. But that's one of the main reasons, is because there are only two psukim. The second reason is because the Mishal Mafarim Sefasim is only when there is a chatos, and there is no chatos, so we're not going to mention it. The third time is because we have to be sensitive to the fact that this is a malacha. It's mutar lechatchil in the Beis HaMikdash, but it's still a malacha. How do we know that the Torah is sensitive? Because the Torah itself did not write the word tase or takriv. The Torah itself was sensitive. So we who are not actually bringing the korbanos, we're only going to do it because we want to read about the korbanos. It's enough to read it privately. You don't have to read it publicly in order to set the wrong tone and let people walk away. Not everyone is such a talmud chacham. They're going to get the wrong impression that you can do things on Shabbos that you cannot normally do. According to this answer in the Beis HaMikdash?
They read Svarim. They read
Kriya Sefer.
They did.
Yeah.
They read on Shabbos two Svarim they should have taken.
I don't know. There was a difference. Say the whole Nusach HaTfilah is already after the Beis HaMikdash. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. Okay, but that's in a chanami. Maybe I don't know. I hear what you're saying. I don't know. Okay, now, however, after all is said and done, these are all answers. The question is still a good question. It's a good question. It's Shabbos. These are the Korbanos. Uviyayim HaShabbos. We have three good answers. The solid answers. But still, Uviyayim HaShabbos. This is the only week when we actually read from the Torah, the Parsha of Uviyayim, what we really should be doing. This is the only week the whole year. It's a very special Shabbos. A very special Shabbos when we're going to finally read on Shabbos. We're going to read the Pesukim. Well, Shabbos, it's only secondary. Once we're already reading Rosh Chodesh, so we throw it in. We throw it in and it also gets read. It's only secondary. Here it's part.
No, I thought of that. I knew you were going to say it. And
no, you don't need enough Pesukim. You can do without. On Rosh Chodesh, you don't need to. You have enough Pesukim in Rosh Chodesh. Once already reading, you're already reading from Rosh Chodesh, so you throw it in, you throw it in also. But here, it's right part of the parish, it's part of the Seder, it's part of the first Sefer Torah, it has a full Toikef, the full Kedusha, and that is something to celebrate. That is something which is significant, that about always significant about Parashas Pinchas.
Also, there's another reason, Chetzil
Hashem, Chetzil Hashem. Where is the Chetzil Hashem? What are you saying? That's only for Shavuos. Chetzil Hashem. That's only for Shavuos. Shabbos is no din of Chetzil Hashem. There's no Chetzil Lachem on Shabbos.
The carbon is an oil.
Well, that we explain. It's an oil. It's not for you. It's not a sword. This one, the sword is also the sword is kachem kachem. Was taki uzid. Okay, let's go to another idea. Okay, very quick idea. This idea I for sure told you in the past, but I cherish the idea very much. Let me tell you very quickly. We have the parasha Shalom, the Shalavav Ketiyah. If you're a Kohen, you get an Aliyah, you're going to notice that the Shalavav Pinchas V'nasati L'Esbrisi Shalom. The Vav is split. How does it split? There are different ways to split it. Really, it's supposed to be split on the bottom. It's supposed to be split in the place in the letter where if you would erase the bottom part, it would still be a kosher Vav. You're not supposed to split it high up. If you split it high up where the top part would be a Yud, that's not really the way it's supposed to be. Some person would even say the same Torah as Puzzle. I don't think anyone would mamish Puzzle because there are mekoros that it can be a Yud, but you're supposed to split on the very, very bottom. I saw once it was very, very well. It's done on an angle.
Right,
basically, it goes all the way down, Kimat. Kimat will go to the Vav, the angle, so you really have a kosher Vav. Okay, but the point is, Farsham tells there are two different types. When the letter is split, there's an indication that it should be omitted. The letter should be deleted. It should be omitted entirely. And the Baalei Mussar say that there are two different types of peace. There's something called Shalom and something called Sholem. What is the difference between Shalom and Sholem? For example, water and fire. There is no way in the world we can mix. They can live together. There's no way water and fire can come together. The best we can do is we can make peace between water and fire by separating them with a piece of metal. Pat! A pot is the peace between fire and water. We can fill up the pot with water, and we can have a fire underneath the pot, and Shalom al Yisrael, the fire burns, the water is in the pot, the two, each one gets one from the other, the energy of the fire goes into the water absorbs, the water bubbles, there's water, okay, it evaporates a little bit, but there's water, and there's fire, the metal has made peace between the two. If we take away the metal, and we have fire and water, It's not going to go. What?
Always the fire influences the water.
But there's a degree, it's just a marshal. There's a degree of Shalom. Then there's something called Sholem. Sholem means one component. You mix two ingredients together. You mix flour and water. Flour and water. Two different items. We mix them together. Oh, it becomes a new product. It becomes dough. It becomes a piece of bread. They two become one. That is Sholem. It's a much higher madrega Sholem than Shalom. Shalom, I am. You are you. I am I. We get along, but we're two different people, and we're at peace with each other. Sholem means we are united. Our children marry each other, and they have a child. The child is the product of both together. This is Sholem. This is one. Maisa Shehoya, true story. There was a Sefer Torah, and the Sefer Torah, the word Shalom was spelled in this week's Parshas Pinchas Nesati Esbrisi Shalom. The Sefer forgot to split the Vav. Okay, no problem. It's kosher with the Yemen. They took it to the Sefer, told the Sefer, they forgot to split the Vav. The Sefer said, you know, I learned in Safra school that Shalom is the Shem Hashem. And before you write Shalom, you have to say L'shem Kiddushas Hashem. To erase Hashem's name is the greatest avera possible for a sofer. You're not allowed to erase Hashem's name. Mechikas Hashem. It's an Isser Deraisa to erase Hashem's name. You know, I know there are poskim that say that Shalom here is not Hashem's name, and it's Chol, it's not Kodesh, but you know, go to another sefer. I don't want to risk it. I don't want to split the Vav. I don't want to split it. Go to another sefer. So they take the servitor to another sefer, and he says the same thing. Yeah, I know it's not really Hashem's name. I can really split it. But you know, there are other poskim that say it is Hashem's name, the same Chag Gad, the whole same story. I don't want to do it. And this story repeats itself over and over. No one wants to do it. So they go to Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach, Zechet Tzadik Levrach, and they tell him that no one wants to do it. What should we do with the servitor? So he says a simple solution. Tell the sefer, leave the Vav alone, and just make the shin, the lamed, and the mem longer. Add a little ink. You know, it doesn't have to be perfect. You just make all the letters a little bit longer, and then the vav will turn out. It'll be a little short, and then add a little dot on the bottom, so it'll be a vav ketia. This is what Rav Shlomo Zalman told them to do in Kachava. Along come the darshanim, and they make the following observation. This is a meridikum musa haskel for life. Shalom is a lower madrega of peace. It's a lower level of peace. Shalem is the highest level of peace, complete. Most people think that to go, if you want to go up a madrega from shalom to shalem, the other person has to give up, has to be mevater. We only can go to the next level where we'll be shalem if you will say you're sorry to me. I'm willing to live with you. I'll be at peace with you. I'll sit next to you in shul, and I'll talk to you, and I'll do business with you, and there'll be peace between me and you. But for us to go to the next step, you have to say you're sorry to me because you once did something not nice to me, and you did this, and you have to stop doing this, stop annoying me, and stop doing behaving like this. And the other one says, I also want to go to the next madrega, but I have a complaint against him. He did this to me, and he does that, and he has to do this and this. Everyone is always demanding the other one to cut away. Rav Shlomo Zalman says just the opposite. This we learn just the opposite. To go to the higher madrega from shalom to shalem, you don't have to erase and demand the other party should cut out. You have to just add. You have to add more ahava v'achla v'reyos. In order to go from the lower madrega shalom to shalem, to make the vav into a vav ketia, it should be incomplete, which when it's incomplete, it means that kilu doesn't exist. Don't look for the chesroinais. Don't look for chesroinais in other people and cutting and demanding and chipping away. Be moisif ava achla v'reyos. Nemeila, you'll go from shalom to shalem. Yeah?
My grandfather, he said that if you have a machlaitis with someone and you want to say, you can say, you are a scoundrel and I'm a tzaddik.
Yeah.
But it's better to say, you're a big tzaddik. I'm just a bigger tzaddik.
A bigger tzaddik.
I'm a bigger shalom.
A bigger tzaddik. Okay, I hear. Okay, let's go to another idea.
Whatever tzaddik you are.
Okay, let's run this idea. This idea, I went recently to, this week's parasha is all about, is the source material for a new rabbi. Moshe Rabbeinu here at this point in time was about to die. Hashem told him, you're about to die, and the time has come where you have to appoint a successor. And Chazal say Moshe really wanted to appoint his children, but Hashem says, no, we're going to appoint Yehoshua. So let me read you the psukim, and we have a beautiful psukim in the elaboration, exactly what... Yifkoy Hashem Elokei Haruchos L'chol Basar Ish Al Hoeda. Asher, what is the... So Moshe says, it's right, okay, fine. Hashem, I want you to select a candidate. Yifkoy Hashem Elokei Haruchos L'chol Basar Ish Al Hoeda Asher Yetze. What will be Yisrael Asher Yetze Lifnehem V'Asher Yavoy Lifnehem V'Asher Yotzeim V'Asher Yiviyem V'Losi Adat Hashem Katzen Asher Ein Lohem Roye. Okay, so Hashem says, okay, you know who the candidate is, it's Yehoshua. I want you to select him, I want you to position him, I want you to do smicha in front of Klal Yisrael, and there will be Shalom Al Yisrael. So recently I went to an installation of a new rabbi. How often in life do you go to an installation? They call it, they call it an installation. So now I didn't know this, they have a new term, it's called a hachtorah. Hachtorah, ever heard this before?
Yeah.
A hachtorah. What?
Today.
A hachtorah, yeah? Hachtorah, keser, miloshin keser. Coronation, the coronation of a new rabbi. So this hachtorah, there was a guest speaker. His name was, I don't know his first name, I do not remember. His name was a Sorotskin. One of the Sorotskins, the Rosh Shivas in Lakewood. One of the Sorotskins, I don't know, there are a lot of them. One of Rav Baruch Sorotskin's sons. Yitzchak Sorotskin, he was the guest speaker. So he said some a beautiful, beautiful vart. And really, really made an impression on me what he said. He said, what is the tafkid of a Rav? This week's Pasha. Yifkud, he didn't read into the Psukim. He had a lot of other things I didn't fully grasp, but this part I understood. He said, the tafkid of Rav is to be like Yosef HaTzadik. Now, I looked in the Rashi, I couldn't find the Makar exactly. I know it's a Medrash somewhere. I have to find where it says this exactly. But there is a Medrash, and it says this in Rashi with regard to Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel, that when Paro had his dream, he had a big problem. He didn't even know what the dream was. He didn't know what the dream was. Doesn't say this in the past, doesn't say this in Rashi. Pesukim Mamash, he didn't know what the dream was. And he just needed someone to interpret the dream. Somehow the Medrash, I know, I remember learning this, there is a Medrash that says this, he did not know what the dream was, and he told his people, Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel. I mentioned that. That is for sure. That's why it's Rashi quotes that. But it says this even with regard to Yosef also. There's a Medrash that says the same thing is true with regard to Yosef. I looked this morning. Remind of the dream. It says this somewhere. I looked this morning. I couldn't find this. If it says by the Sarah Mashman, Sarah Ephim, it says it's by Paro. I don't know. It says it. Definitely there is a Medrash that says this. It's not Mashman Psukim this. But there is such a Medrash, and we're going to have faith that there is a Medrash. I could not have time today to find exactly where it is. And he quoted this. This Rav Sorotskin, he actually quoted this Medrash, so I have faith that there is such a Medrash. And then we recall such a Medrash? That Paro did not remember the dream? There is such a Medrash. Okay, Paro did not know what the dream was, or maybe the Sar Hamashkim, Sar Ephim did not know what the dream was. And the greatness of Yosef was, not only did he interpret the dream, it's a very great chokhmah to interpret the dream, but it's an even greater chokhmah to tell you what the dream is. That's a greater chokhmah. You interview your patient, and you tell me, tell me whatever you have to tell me, and somehow the chokhmah of the dream interpreter is, he's able to extract what the dream was. Oh, now we know what the dream is. And now let's interpret the dream. It's a double chachma. Yodea chaloim lifter oiso. You know what you are yodea. You even know what the dream is. You're able. Maybe that was the possible quote from yodea chaloim. You're able to extract what the dream is, and then you're able to go the second step to interpret the dream. So he said, this is the tafkid of a manik, of a rabbi. It's balabatim come to the rabbi with problems. They come with a long laundry list of things they need, they want, and demands. And the job of the rabbi is pretty much is liftor es hachaloyim, is to provide a solution.
So it's a milk,
say the night.
Four
courses,
if you can do it with milk.
If you can do it with milk?
Yeah.
So from the alignment for meat, he doesn't even have meat. If you're asking me a shiloh with milk, it means you don't have money for meat. So the draw, the people, they come, here is what I want, and I need you to find me a solution. Finding a solution is symbolic of interpreting a person's a dream. But that's not what a Rav is primary job. The primary job is to reveal to the people what their dreams really are. As people get older, they forgot their dreams. Their childhood dreams are long gone. When they were children, they had she'ifos for greatness, to become talmidei chachamim, yoreh shamayim, and then the tirdos hachayim. You get married, parnasa, time to learn. Who has time to learn? Impossible. Half the day you're doing carpooling. That's what you do most of the time. Most of the day you're involved in carpooling and running here, running there, shopping. You have time to yeshiva das, and finally you have 10 minutes then to learn. You have no yeshiva das. That's the way life is. This is the way it's supposed to be to some degree. That's how it is. Hashem put us in the world to have tirdus. And you totally forget that once upon a time when you were a young man, you were in a different frame of mind. You wanted to conquer Shas. You wanted to become a Talmud Chacham. You wanted to be a Yerushalayim. The role of a manik is to be like Yosef HaTzadik. It's to tell the people, Yodea Chaloim, Lifter Oisai. To remind the people, your community, your constituents, what your Chaloimois were. And then, now we can remind you, your Chaloimois. Now we can proceed, Lifter Oisai, to provide the dream. This is what says Yisrael. Now, Lechaira, this is a bit of a stretch, but maybe that's what the pasuk really means. Asher yifkayt Hashem elokei haruches l'chol basar ish al ha'eda. What is the tafkid of the ish al ha'eda? Asher yetzei lifnehem v'asher yavoy lifnehem. First, your yetzei. Go out from them, which means go in front of them. Go in front of them, which has like, it's a little bit of a stretch, but it has a connotation. Show them what their hasagu should be. Let me take you out to the world. I'll yetzei lifnehem. I'll show you what godless is. I'll show you what it means, greatness. And now, when I have aroused your desire, you know what's out there in the world. You live here in a little isolated shtetl. You don't know what the world has to offer. Now, let's asher yovoy lifnehem, to come back and let's figure out how we can achieve these dreams, these goals. Yoidea chaloim lifter oiso is merumas asher yetzei lifnehem, reveal what should be their dreams. Now you know what your dreams are. Yovoy lifnehem, to go before them, within them, and to bring those dreams to fruition, to bring, make those dreams a reality. This is what we have here in this week's parasha. Okay, now, let's do another idea. Another idea, this idea is an old idea. Yifkoy Hashem l'kei ruchos l'chol basar. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wears many hats. Black hat, kippah srugah, no hat. Many different types of hats. Hashem has many different names. There's Hashem, Hashem Elokim, there is Kel, all different shemos. This is the most bizarre way to describe the Ribbono Shel Olam. If the pasuk would have been written, Yifkoit Hashem, Yishal Ho'eda. Yifkoit Hashem, may Hashem appoint Ish al ho'eda, we would have been very happy. We would have saved a few words in the pasuk. Would have been very nice. But it does not say that. The way Hashem is described is Hashem who is Elokei haruchos l'chol basar. That's a lot. Let it say Ishala Yifkod Hashem, or you want to say Yifkod Hashem Elokim, or Yifkod Hashem Elokei haruchos ish al ho'eda. What is all of this verbosity? So I think the answer is very simple. A Rav, we all know for a fact that a manik, every kehila needs a unique manik. A manik that's good for one is not. Someone once told me years ago, a rabbi told us, a very popular rabbi told us that it would be a great idea that it should be, all the shul should be part of a union, some type of club, and all the rabbis should rotate. The rabbi, the balabat, and after a couple of years, they get bored of the rabbi, they want a new rabbi. So it would be very good if there will be like a system where you're elected to the board of rabbis of the Flatbush community, and every year there's a different rabbi in the shul, so that way you have some new excitement. So it's not the same rabbi. But actually like a rotation. It's not going to work. Because a rabbi that's good for one community is not good. Is poison. Exactly. It's not like you need to learn your oilam. It's just not a fit. Forget about it. You need to learn. Sometimes a rabbi can. He is a good fit for multiple communities, but it takes years to develop a relationship. You need to know your son, Katsun Hashem Elohim Roya. But sometimes it's worse than that. It's just not, there's no chemistry. It just doesn't go. There are certain types of communities. There's a more Hasidic community. They need a person that's in tune with their minhagim. There's a more modern Orthodox community. This type of rabbi is just not going to go. It's not going to work. Every community needs a rabbi. So in other words, a rabbi and a community is a zivuk. It's like a shirach. In fact, it's the ultimate zivuk. Chos and Kal, it's only two people. You're dealing with a community, a lot of people. It is the ultimate zivuk. to have a rabbi selected for a specific community. The term that is used, that the perfect term to describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his role as a shatchan, is Elokei Haruchos L'chol Basar. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu spends half a day Isaac in Shidduchim. Chazal, the Gemara, gives a list of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's activities. His activities, half a day he is Isaac in matching up Chosan Mekala, which doesn't just mean Chosan Mekala, it means in the big sense, it means making arrangements and all different types of arrangements. What is the meaning over here, Alokei Haruchos? Rashi, Pasuk Tezvav, explains, what is Alokei Haruchos? Loma Ne'amar, Omar Lefanov, Ribbono Shel Olam, Golu Lefanecha, Daito Shel Kol Echad V'Echad, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe is speaking, you know that every person has a different way of thinking. V'Einon Doimim Zeh Lo Zeh, Minei Aleihem Manik, appoint a leader, Sheyehe Soivel Kol Echad V'Echad Lefi Daito. A manik that's able to deal with each person on his level. Need a person who's multifaceted, a person that can relate to every person there, madrega. Asher Yetzei Lefnei, then he goes on Asher Yetzei Lefnei, Achosan and Kala, in the beginning of Parashas Bereish, it's called Ezer Kinegdo. Ezer Kinegdo, which simply means is that the spouse has to be able to relate kineged the das of their spouse. It's almost identical what it says here in this Rashi. In this Rashi, one more time, it says, Each the manik has to be able to relate to each individual on their level. In Ezer Kinegdo means according to your level of understanding, your sheifas in life, your understanding of life, the Ezer will be a proper match. That's Elokei Haruchos. And then when it says L'chol Basar, what is the role of Alkein of marriage? Alkein Yazov Ish Es Aviv Ishto V'Hoyu L'Basar Echad. And what does it mean L'Basar Echad? Rashi on that pasuk says the Vlad, the child. Chos and Kal get married, man and wife, they have a child, the child is Basar Echad, they have now united. HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his role as a Shatchan is Elokei Haruchos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows the ruach of each individual, man and woman. He knows what he needs, a person, a spouse, that will deal with him lefi ruchai, an ezer kinegdai, in order to achieve the goal, the product, to achieve the success of v'hayu lebasar echad. So this term is the perfect term to describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the role of a shatchan. Elokei Haruchos, Lefi Luach Shel Kol Echad V'Echad, to produce the result of V'Hayu L'Basar Echad, they should unite and achieve a goal, a purpose, of producing children. And here we're using that in reference to the appointment of a manig on its tzibur to teach us the ultimate shidduch is between a rav, a manig, and his community. That is what we can take out from this pasuk.
There's no one answer to the same challenge depending on who's asking. I mean, in other words,
right. Every person that
asking the question.
Every question, every person different. Absolutely.
The word soivel.
Soivel, yeah.
The word soivel, which means to say that people are against the rabbi, and the rabbi is soivel.
He bears them. He tolerates them. Tolerance.
Tolerance.
But the oilam doesn't want to be tolerated.
Yeah, okay, tolerance, absolutely. Okay, let's just a short idea. This is something which I found, we discussed yesterday, Goyrolas. Very interesting about the Asara Haruge Malchus. So we discussed that the first two of the Asara Haruge Malchus, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yishmael, they were selected who would be the first one to die through a goyrol. It's a very interesting thing. Why everything in the kina, every moment, every part of that of the Asara Gemalchus is filled with richness, with symbolism, and it's not to be ignored. It doesn't just tell us by accident it was a goyrol who was going to go first and who was selected by the goyrol. The Chorban, these are just short points. The Chorban was the end of our stay in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Shimon were the first ones to die. They died 1 month and a half before the Churban Beis Hamikdash, on the 25th day of Sivan. The 25th day of Sivan is when they were killed. And their death, obviously, they represented the Melech, the king, and the Nasi, who was, there was no real Malchus at that point in time, but he was the Nasi, which served the role as the Melech, and Rabbi Shmuel was the Kohen Gadol. The two branches of leadership in Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, there are two branches. There's Malchus, and there is the Kohuna, and as the beginning, the Aschalto de Paranusa, the beginning of the Churban began with the end of Kohuna, the leadership of Kohuna, and the leadership of Malchus with their death. And how did that happen? Through a Goyal. How did Klal Yisrael come into the land? Did they take possession of the land? This week's parsha. Ach! Bigorol Yechalei Ka'aretz. So you see, it's significant. We came into the land with a girl. And the girl means it's Al Pi Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that tells you how it's going to be. In fact, in the Mimarach, we know that how long did it take them to conquer the land? 7 years. How long did it take them to divide the land? 7 years. They should have come to me. I can do it in 2 minutes. I'm very slow. But this, I can do. I'll make a girl. I'll take one of those lottery things and I'll put all the things inside. I can do it in 2 minutes. What took 7 years to divide the land? They conquered the land. It's in their possession. So go, everyone, go and take possession of the land. What?
The UN was against it.
Was against it.
The UN was for it.
You already conquered the land. What took 7 years to divide the land? It can happen in 10 seconds. The answer is, the pasuk here says, no. When you divide the land, ach bigorol yecholei ka'aretz. Rashi explains, the Rashi elaborates here a little bit, in the Gemara and Chazal, they elaborate, the Goral is no simple matter. The Goral is HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking. It's Ruach HaKadosh. It took Klal Yisrael 7 years to sit in Koilel, to raise themselves up on a spiritual level where they're now worthy that at the very last moment, the Goral will be the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For example, the Goral Hagra. Everyone knows the sentence called the Goral Hagra. You take a chumash and you mish, azoyin, 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 7 times, especially have a chumash, and it'll tell you, have a dilemma what to do, and it'll tell you exactly what to do. This Goral, if you study the Goral, you know, they do this today, they go to Gedolim today to do, and they say, to do the Goral, you have to be on a Madrega, on a very high Madrega. And the people traditionally, in the last, let's say, few hundred years, who have done the Goral Hagra to find answers to questions, they fasted. For days, they did tshuva. They took upon themselves yisurim to raise themselves up to a spiritual level that they would be worthy when they do the goral, Hashem would give. Just to go, and while you're in the pizza store, and to mish the pages, it's not going to work. You have to raise yourself up to a spiritual madrega that the goral should work. And it's documented in these stories. And when they went now, and when they really used the goral, it was very powerful when a person is missing. That's one of the most, when a person, Rahman al-Islam, is missing. It appears from what I've read, that was traditionally the time the Goral Hagra was used the most. If a person is missing, they didn't know the names of Yoschaim Zonnefeld. There are a lot of stories, but it was very, when the soldiers last year, they were missing the three boys. So they went, you heard, they went to Chaim Kanievsky. Chaim Kanievsky says, I'm not doing it. Go to this person, go to that person. He told them who to go to. They go to that person. They said, I'm not Madrega to do it. No one wanted to do it. And whatever, but we don't have in this generation, but if you study the stories of the Gedolim, it requires a very high Madrega. After finding the land, you're involved in Muhammad is not a time when you are in a frame of mind of a very high spiritual level. After they conquered the land for 7 years, it took 7 years of precious, of kedusha, of sitting and davening and learning and living the kedusha v'tara to re-on the Madrega, where now we can make the goyal, and Hashem will tell us exactly where where we, which part of the land we're going to divide. That's why it took 7 years. And that's very significant. Hashem is speaking. Hashem spoke to Klal Yisrael, Ach, bigorol yecholeka aretz, when the land, now we're doing the Ben HaMitzarim, when the land was taken away from us, it was taken away from us with a goyrol. The first thing to go was Jewish leadership, Kohuna and Malchus, and it was done also bigorol as a statement, and Hashem is speaking. Hashem is saying, the time has come, you don't deserve to live in the land, it has to come to an end, it's ze l'uma ze. Okay, let's go to another idea. Okay, smicha. Smicha is done with one, we have here, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, when you go appoint Yahushua, I want you to rest one hand. Just rest one hand upon Yahushua. Okay, where does it say? We'll go back to one. Pasuk Yitches. Perek Chav Zayin. Pasuk Yitches. Vayom Hashem El Moshe Kach Nchol Yeshua Binon Ish Asher Ruach Bo Vissamachta Es Yodicho. Yodicho is Beloshon Yochid. One. I want you to rest one hand upon his head. And then the psalm go on, it tells him what to do. Pasuk of Beis, Vayas Moshe, Kasher Tziva Hashem Oso, Vayikach Es Yoshua, Vayamil Lufnei Elazar HaKohen, Lufnei Kol Eda, Vayismoch Es Yodov, Beloshen Rabim. Two hands. That has a yud. That one has a yud. Yeah, that one. The different ones in Bamin, the Torah, different ones. Vayismoch Es Yodov. Moshe would know.
Right.
We call out the Miskane Chutz Mibinoi. Vayismach as Yodav Allah Vayitzaveil Kashadiba Hashem Biad Moshe. Two ends. Rashi is the Kasha. What's going on over here? Rashi says, Yodav Ba'ayin Yofe. Yoyser Vyoyse Mimash and Itzav, more than what he was commanded. Shakadosh Baruch Amulav Vismachtas Yodcho. Who also b'shte yadav v'asok ichli molei v'godosh, a kli that's molei, that's heaping. Umolu chokmosai bi'ayin yof. Moshe Rabbeinu was extremely generous when he gave over to his talmidim. He gave over to talmidim much more than what that was required of him. Okay, so the question over here is, what exactly is the deeper meaning of yadav and yadav? So I want to suggest the following insight. Very simple answer. Let's look at how the Torah was given to Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu over here is transmitting the Torah that he received from Sinai. In Parshas Kisisa, in Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Tezvav, when Moshe Rabbeinu received the Torah, Vayifen he turned. Vayer, now who's describing this? Hashem is writing this. Hashem is describing what happened. This is descriptive. Vayifen he turned. Vayer, he came down, Moshe Menoru, Shnei Lucho Soedus, Biyodoy. Moshe came down from Shemayim. He succeeded. He came down from heaven with the Luchos. Ushnei Luchos Soedus, Biyodoy, in his hand, in one hand. In one hand, Moshe was able to hold two luchas. That is how the Torah is described. Okay, very simple. Problem is, let's go back. Let's now go to Parshas Kisa, Parshas Egev, Perek Tes, Pasuk Tesvav, where Moshe Rabbeinu, he recalls from memory what exactly happened. Let's review what happened here for 40 years. And there in Pasuk Tesvav, the same thing for Eifen. Now here it's not Vayifen. Moshe is describing himself. In Parshas Ki, that's the point I want to make. In Parshas Ki Sava, in Parshas Ki, it's Vo Eifen. It's Vayifen. Vayifen. Here it's Vo Eifen. I turned. Vo Eireit. Himself. Parshas Ki Sisa. Va'yifen, va'yered. He turned. He went down. Here it says va'yifen, va'yered. I turned. I went down. It's being described from his perspective. It's not descriptive. Mishnah Torah. My perspective, not the perspective of the Ribbono Shel Olam. What does it say? V'har bar ba'esh, was burning. U'shnei luchos habris al shtei yodoy. Make no mistake about it. Shtei. And the luchos were on my two hands. This is a head-on contradiction. Possible contradiction to resolve. It's impossible. It says explicitly that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe Rabbeinu, they took the luchos in one hand, And here Moshe says that Hashem gave it in my two hands. Contradiction. How do we answer the? How do we answer this?
Oh,
in a chalam, that's what you have to say. So, what is the deeper meaning? What is the deeper meaning? It means that Hakadosh Baruch Hu, part of the, this is a basic yisod, that giving of the Torah Hakadosh Baruch Hu has given us the ability to have our own chelik in the Torah. We are mispal every day v'sein chelkenu b'soira secha. When we make the first brach, Asher boch arbonu mikol homem v'nos alonu Torah so, his Torah. When you make the first bracha, you make mention that it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. But when you make the second bracha, after you read the Torah, Asher Nosan Lonu Torah Senes, L'chayelam Nota B'Socheinu, it's our Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you the Torah, you have the opportunity, you have the ability to study the Torah, and to develop the Torah, and to have your own acquisition in the Torah. Hashem gave the Torah and put it in Moshe's one hand. But Moshe developed, Moshe studied the Torah, Moshe was yageya in the Torah, and by doing so, he earned his own chelik in the Torah. And his own chelik in the Torah, it's called Toras Moshe, is the second hand. Hashem puts the Torah in one hand. He gives you siyata d'shmaya to understand the basics. And when you develop and you study and you omel b'Torah, it's as if you are now taking the Torah into the second hand, which means the second is symbolic of your chelek in the Torah.
Both hands.
But Hashem only put it in one hand. When Hashem describes the giving of the Torah, I gave the Torah into the hand of Moshe. I only gave it into Moshe's hands. But Moshe went further. Moshe developed the Torah. He understood the Torah. He had original insights into the Torah. He was mechadish the Torah. He was omel. It became part of his neshama. Becoming part of his neshama is Moshe's own effort. It's considered to be Moshe's second hand. That's the second hand. Now we understand smicha. Hashem says to Moshe, Rabbeinu Moshe, the time has come for you to appoint a successor. All you're required to do is transmit to your successor what has been given to you. You went to Shemayim, I put the luchos in your one hand. I put the luchos in your one hand. You only have to take what I gave you and give it over to your student. Give over to your student what has been, what I've given to you. You have no obligation to give over to your student your experiences in life with your talmidim and your own chidushim, your own amelos, your own things that you've acquired. That's not your obligation. All I require is to continue the Mesoira. The Mesoira is from Hashem to Moshe, and now from Moshe to Yeshua. I gave it to you in one hand. What I gave to you in one hand, give that over to Yeshua in one hand. But Moshe had an ayin yofeh. Moshe was gracious. He was generous. Not only did he give over to Yeshua what Hashem gave to him, he gave to Yeshua everything that he accomplished. All of his anelos, all of the experience and the chidushim that he developed, he gave that over also to Yehoshua. That's what Rashi says. Molei v'godosh, be'ayin yofeh, yoyser v'yoyser mimashen itstava. Hashem said, one, what I gave you, you give to Yeshua. But Moshe went further, and like we find in Parshas Ekev, that second hand, Moshe Rabbeinu also chose to give over. Okay, let's go to another idea. This is a very short idea, but I find it very, very, very satisfying. Moshe Rabbeinu, what?
I was alluding to, Yuvizikisis.
Yeah.
Because it says, when he refers to the story, he says, Vayashlech miyodov es haluchos, there, it's chasim.
Ah. Biyadov. So there,
Biyadov, it's chasa.
Chasa. So there, it's only both hands, but it's only one hand. Okay, they have to figure out how that fits into this idea. Okay, let's go to another idea. Moshe Rabbeinu, we bnei slavchad come to Moshe Rabbeinu, and they demand, we want a portion of the land. Moshe says to bnei slavchad, the Torah only gives land to the sons, not to the daughters. We got a problem here. Vayakrev Moshe Mishpatan Lifnei Elokim. A short idea. What Moshe Rabbeinu, who didn't know the halacha? Moshe Rabbeinu, he knew everything. How could Moshe Rabbeinu not know the halacha? Didn't Hashem teach him this halacha before? There are many answers. But there's one. Okay, there was one thing, though, that's very interesting of what they said, as the Hagdama, what they said. This is a very powerful lesson. We've been learning about this in Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. And that's why this idea really tipped me off. Let me just find the pasuk. I lost the place in the Chumash. When the Bnei Slavchot came to Moshe Rabbeinu, they said, let me give me one second. Avinu batamoyna lifnei Moshe lifnei Elazar hakohen lifnei hanesim v'chol yedol pesach ha'moy lemar. Avinu meisba midbar v'chu lo hoya besoch ha'eda hano adim al Hashem ba'adas korach. They were not part of the community, the people that gathered against Hashem in the assembly of Korach. Ki v'chetay meis b'nei slavchad, our father died for a different avera, uvanim lo hayu lo. Lama yigara, and they go on, why should we be denied? What was the chet of Korach? The chet of Korach was primarily against Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe, kolach ol kulam kidoshim, uvesuchem Hashem. If it was part of Korach, we understand. Korach, all of the land was confiscated, the families are out, they get nothing. But our father was not part of the rebellion of Korach, which was a rebellion against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It wasn't just against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it was really primarily against Moshe Rabbeinu. Korach rose up and says, kolam kulam kidoshim, madua tisnasubik, why do you elevate yourself? So Moshe Rabbeinu said, I'm the Gavad Avar, because he was my supporters. Most of Klal Yisrael were from the defectors. But you, Korach, Tzlafchot, he was from the good Balabatim. He was from my supporters. He always is at my side. So therefore, I'm partial towards him. I love him. He was such a, even though he didn't have Avera, even though he was Mechal Shabbos, and he was stoned to death, he was a Mechal Shabbos to the Ribbono Shel Olam. But to me, he was good. To me, he was very good. He was not part of the chait. He was a good balabas. You know, you have such a type balabas, and the people come, they complain, this balabas is a mechal Shabbos, and he's a ganaf, and he's this, and he's your best balabas. He's the best one. He always comes and brings him shalachmanas, and he says that your drashas are so good. He supports me. How can I do something bad? Moshe Rabbeinu found himself in this dilemma. It's true, he may have been a mechal Shabbos, but he was lohoya besoch hanoadim al Hashem badas korach. He was my supporter. I'm the Gabadavar. I have to recuse myself. Okay, let's go to another short idea. We have this idea is a popular. I saw this in many different forms. Moshe Rabbeinu, we have the Karbonos of Rosh Chodesh. And in the Karbon of Rosh Chodesh, it says that in Chodesh you bring a Chatos La Hashem. One of the most bizarre Amori Chazad in HaKadosh Baruch Kav Yochel, he sinned. You can't, that's Apikoros to say HaKadosh Baruch Hu sinned. Hatsur Tamim Paolo Ki Chol Drachav Mishpat Kel Emuna Ve'ein Avel. To say HaKadosh Baruch Hu sinned is pure Apikoros. So it has to be understood in the greater context, the greater Chadim. First, they struggle very much what this means, and we do know that at the time of Maaseh Bereishis, there were Shnei HaMa'oros HaGedoylim. There were two great luminaries. There was the sun and the moon. They were equal. And the moon complained to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ein Shnei Melachim Mishtam Shemek Keser Echad. Two cannot have. So Hashem said, okay, you know what? Gilchi Ma'ati Es Atzmech. The moon complained, just because I'm the one that complained, do I have to suffer? So Hashem said, don't worry, I'm going to be Mephais you, I'm going to create the stars. It's a Perush HaChazal, it's a fascinating Chazal, that the only reason why there are stars, our only reason why stars exist, is a pius, is an appeasement to the moon. You look at a star, the star is just a servant of the moon. You see billions of stars, and you see the moon. So, oh, big deal. What? The stars in the Chazal's eyes were created as an afterthought. They were not meant to be stars. It would have been just a black expanse. All of the, you know, NASA would go broke. They have nothing to do the whole day. What would they do without the stars? It was an afterthought to be Mephayes the Levana. And the Levana says, too little, too late. It's not going to help. And Hashem says, okay, so you know what? I'll make mitzvos. Klal Yisrael, the calendar will be based upon the Levana. I'll take it, but it's not enough.
But there's a Kiddush HaChama too.
Kiddush HaChama, okay, but the calendar, it's not, whatever it means, the Levon is the Pnei Hashchina, whatever it means, the end was, Hashem says, I can't satisfy my customer. My customer cannot be satisfied, and Hashem said, I am guilty. Again, to say that is almost like a curses, whatever that means. And therefore, I need an atonement. And therefore, on Rosh Chodesh, we bring a chatos la Hashem, a sin offering for Hashem. So what's going on here? So I saw just one idea. The question is such a great question. No answer is going to satisfy. No answer is going to satisfy the question. But I saw something which at least takes away a little bit of the answer, a little bit of the question. It's part of the question. That is when the moon said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "Ein shnei malachim meshamshim bekesrachu." What really did the moon want? The moon wanted. The moon was humble. The moon was right. The moon was right. So what did the moon want? That the moon should diminish itself? The moon wanted that this one of the two should get larger. Like we started today. When you want to make peace, you don't have to cut. You don't have to go from shalom to shalom. You don't have to cut the vav. You don't have to be, you don't have to diminish. You have to diminish. So let the sun be enlarged. Hashem, let the sun be the melech. The sun will be the melech, and how will the sun be the melech? Expand the sun. So Hashem says, so in Chanami, that's really what happened. Hashem expanded the sun. The sun was very great. But then Hashem realized, the sun is so great, it's not kedai. They are going to be in this world wicked people. And it's not worthy that they should enjoy the benefit of this extra special light. Hashem listened originally to the Levana, expanded the sun, and then there was an additional brilliance of light that came to the world, which of course refers to spiritual light. And Hashem says, but I know there are going to be wicked people who are going to live in this world, and it's not fair that they should enjoy such benefit. So I have to take this light and put it away in Geniza. I have to restore the sun to the original size, and that extra light I'm going to put in Geniza for the Tzadikim Le'asid Lavo. So it comes out now, who is the chatas really for? The chatas really is for us, the sinners of the world. Because there does exist in this world people who are balei avera and do not enjoy, are not worthy of enjoying the spiritual radiance of the sun. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu had no choice but to put this R in Geniza, Hashem. So now we're back where we started. We're going in circles. So we have the moon and the sun. They're equal size. Can't be. That's what the moon says. So Hashem says, "You're right. I'm going to make the sun bigger." Hashem makes the sun bigger. Now we only have one melech. Problem is, there's too much light. Too much light. The Rishonim in this world, they don't deserve to benefit from that light. So I'm going to take all that light that I've created. I'm putting it in Geniza. And I'm reducing, and the sun now is being reduced to its original size. Now the problem comes back. We have the moon and the sun, they're exactly the same size. What are we going to do? We already tried that approach. It cost me plenty of money. I have to go put in storage all the extra light for us level. So the only solution now is to make the moon smaller. So the only reason why the moon is smaller is really because of the Rishoyim, because of us. Because since there does exist in this world evil people, and the tzaddikim have failed to reform the Rishayim, so the chatos is really a chatos for us. On Rosh Chodesh, when the Pasuk says, chatos la Hashem, Hashem is taking the blame upon Himself. I had no choice but to diminish the moon. But the reason why I'm diminishing the moon is because you, my people, have twisted my hand. I originally wanted to make the sun greater, but the R is not roy for the Rishayim. The R has to be put in Geniza. Putting it in Geniza forces the Levana, the sun, to come back to its original size. And now we have no choice but to make the Levana smaller. So Hashem is perfect. Hashem, but it's the Rishayim that twisted Hashem's hands that forced Hashem to make the Levana smaller. Okay, these are Midrashim. These are our Ein Chanani. Ein Chanani. Ein. Okay. All right. Let me leave you with one last thought.
Yeah. Both to what you said before with Moshe, by Akrav, it's Mishpat by Hashem. Of course, it doesn't say he didn't know what to do. The other by the Mekoshe Shetzim and the Megadev, it says Kilo Farash by Yosilov. Here it just says by Akrav Moshe, it's Mishpat. It doesn't say he didn't know what to do. He just said, well, let's go, because I'm a Nogay Bedavar, let's go ask. Let him decide.
I
know what the answer is.
I know, but because I'm the Gebe Dovah, I'll just drop it. Same idea, right? Okay. Okay, let me leave you with one short last Vart. We're now beginning the Bein HaMetzarim. The Mepharshim tell us it's not a coincidence that the first week of the Bein HaMetzarim is Parshas Pinchas, so we have all of the Moadim. What have we lost? What have we lost because of the Churban Beis HaMikdash? The Moadim, we've lost the true sense of Shabbos, the sense of Rosh Chodesh, and the Sholosh Regalim, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Everything is centered on the Beis HaMikdash. When there's no Beis HaMikdash, we've lost. And therefore, we mentioned this a few days ago. How many days of a year are there? How many days are there? The Bein HaMetzarim is, let's make believe there are 21 days. There's only 22 days when we count Tisha B'Av. But let's for right now just make believe there is no, it's until Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is the Yom Tov. So there are really 20, there are 21 days. 3 weeks from Shavuos B'Tammuz until the 8th through the 8th day of Av is exactly 21 days. 21. And how many days are there in the calendar? So we made a calculation. The calculation was imprecise. What was the calculation? Let's go through. There are 8 days of Sukkot. 8 days of Sukkot. There are 7 days of Pesach. That's 15. Then there is 1 day of Shavuos. There is 1 day of Yom Kippur. I'm skipping Rosh Hashanah. 1 day of Rosh Hashanah. And one day Shabbos. One day Rosh Chodesh. And how many is that in total?
20.
That, and then that is 20. And now, no, that's 19. That's 19.
21.
That's 19. That's 19. And then there are
20. 8, 7, 1 Shavuos, 1 Yom Kippur, 1 Rosh Hashanah.
No, I told you not to include Rosh Hashanah. I told you no Rosh Hashanah yet. So what's the problem? So what's the problem? What is the problem? The problem is Rosh Hashanah. How many days is Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Hashanah is 1 day or 2 days.
One.
So in order to get to 21, you're going to have to say Rosh Hashanah is 2 days. Oh, that's what I'm coming to right now. That's the answer, right? That's what I'm coming to. But Karban Tamid is not a special day. So in order to get to 21 days, there are 21 days of the Bein HaMetzarim to correspond to the 21 days, the Moadim, the festivals that have been bottled. Pesach, Sukkot, Shavuos, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh. The problem is, we make the calculation, it's only 20 days. The only way the Mepharshim come to the 21 days is you have to say Rosh Hashanah is 2 days. Because even Eretz Yisrael, they count 2 days. But that's a cop-out. Because Rosh Hashanah is really only 1 day. The real answer is that there's one clue with the Hashivas, when you learn for Parshas, is every day is a special day. Because the beginning of the Karbanos is the Tomid. The fact that we continuously serve Hashem, this in fact is the most choshev of them all. Is the most significant. This is Mashlim, there are really 21 special days. Every single day is the 21st day, the Tamid. And because we fail to appreciate what we had, these 21 special moments, the Tamid, Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, all the Moadim, Mimela, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought upon us 21 days Kol Roit Fecha His Sigura Bein HaMetzarim.
The first day of 3 weeks, one of the events was the
Bittul HaTamid. Very good. Oh, so you have an addendum for this year. Ein Beis Medrash B'lei Chiddush. Ein Beis Medrash B'lei Chiddush. The Bittul HaTamid is the first. Very good. So this is, we should be zoichet to witness the building of the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. B'mehera V'yameinu Amen.